The third day of these events that John is recounting. The first day, it was John himself bearing witness. And then the second day, he points out to the Lamb of God. The third day, once again, he points to the Lamb of God. This time, two follow him, Andrew and another. And they stay there, spend the day with him. And then Andrew goes and calls Peter. So now you can see this revelation of Jesus is becoming more and more attractive. Once again, behold the Lamb of God. Now, it just so happens, remember yesterday we talked about this, and I said, everybody, why don't you go home and when you're praying the rosary, ask God to reveal to you what does it mean to call Jesus the Lamb of God? What does that mean? He's the one who takes away the sin of the world, John told us yesterday. So it's a sacrificial thing. It just so happens that in our Lord's language, Aramaic, the word for lamb and the word for servant, boy, are the same, Talia. And so he could be saying, behold the servant of God. And perhaps he's using the word on purpose. You remember when the little girl in Capernaum was sick, and Mark tells us that Jesus said to her, Talita kum. Talita is the feminine of Talia. Little girl, get up. So, but most likely from everything else, the main meaning is lamb. Already then, Jesus is designated. He's the Word of God from all eternity, the one through whom everything was made, the one in the power of whom everybody else can think. He's the light enlightening every man coming into the world. Our power to think is, as St. Thomas says, it's an imprint of the divine light. It's already a share in the Word of God. And now he's called a lamb. He's going to be given over in sacrifice to lift from the world the weight of its sin. But now we begin to have some new titles, huh? What are you looking for? They said, Rabbi, another title. This is an eminent, like teacher, you know. Where do you stay? And Jesus said, come and you will see, which is a better translation than come, come and see. If you come, you'll see. You'll understand. So they spent the day with him. And then the last title, we found the Messiah. The Anointed One. The one who is going to come and bring peace. You remember all during Advent, we had King Psalms. Remember? Especially Psalm 72. O Lord, give your judgment to the king and your righteousness to the son of the king. And, you know, the mountains are going to receive righteousness and there's going to be peace and he's going to care for the poor. He's going to stop oppression. He's going, the king. That's the Messiah. The one that, you know, all those Psalms were praying for. He's here now. Andrew, by an anointing of the Holy Spirit, saw it. And he told Peter. So Peter goes. Now, think, Peter and Andrew, we know from the synoptics, lived up in the north. You see what devout men they were? At least for some period, they dropped everything to go listen to John preach, and to learn from John. They were disciples of John. They left their business. Now, they expected to go back, but they didn't. And so, Peter comes along with his brother Andrew. And Jesus sees him and says, now this is also, it's nice to be sensitive to these things, you see. To see and to say in John is a very special revelation formula. It means to declare this person's role in salvation history. John saw Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Jesus sees Peter and says, "You are Kepha, you are rock." He gives him a vocation. He changes his name. He makes him somebody new. "You're Kepha from now on. You're Cephas. You know, you're rock. That's your name from now on. And I'm going to build my church on you," which just comes later. But already he has his name. That's a new vocation, a new call. Whenever in the Bible somebody's name is changed, it, you know, your name is Aviram, you're going to be called Abraham. Aviram means my father is exalted, my God is exalted. Abraham means you're the father of a multitude. Changed his vocation. And so we have it here. Now this begins, we have one more day like this, tomorrow. And it's the fourth day. Huh? And then, very next incident in the gospel, and on the third day, there was a wedding at Cana. Third day after the 4 days. By Jewish reckoning, it's the sixth day in the list. Huh? And when we get there tomorrow, we'll talk about that. But I'm trying to, how does this great mystic who knows Jesus and loves him, how does he mediate to us an understanding of who he is? Well, now he's giving us these names, huh? Lamb of God, Rabbi, Teacher, Messiah. Tomorrow, you're King of Israel. These are revelations of who Jesus is. And then our Lord takes all those titles and he adds another one. Son of Man. And he takes that title to himself. Son of Man. Meaning, quintessential human being. Son of Man. Do you remember when the war over there in Iraq and Hussein said, "This is the mother of all battles," remember? They talk like that. This is the Son of Man. But he's a somebody. And the title, as I'll try to explain tomorrow, the title comes from the book of Daniel, where the Son of Man is given all this glory, honor, authority, and so forth. So if today you take the time, this is all getting us ready for the revelation of Jesus to the Gentiles, and the revelation of who he is in the tradition of the church. The Epiphany is not just a revelation to the Magi. It's the baptism, the revelation by God the Father concerning his Son. So you see how much the Holy Spirit wants us to understand who Jesus really is. And he'll teach us that.